This is a message delivered by Pastor Hon in the morning services on September 26, 2021. The message title is I Will Adopt You. The scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. Let us read from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5. God predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will. It's been a while since we learned the letter to Ephesians last, but today, from the passage of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 5 I just read, I would like us to think about what God the Father makes us His Son by Jesus Christ means. If you simply read the words in verse 5, you may think there is nothing unusual about it, but if you read with a little care, you might realize the word "let's make it our own, my own child" is very unnatural. This is the translation in Japanese, the "let's make it my own child." The reason why it is unnatural is that no one was born with the intention and choice of parents to make him their own child. All people were born from their birth parents, but no one was born with the clear intentions and choices made by their parents as to whom they would give birth to, and what kind of children they will give birth to. In other words, when it comes to the birth of a person, there is no room for parents' intentions and choices to make this child my child. The idea of "let's make this child my own" can be realized by an adult's choice for a child who has already been born on this earth with life. In other words, it means adoption. The word "let's make it my own child" that appears in this verse 5 in Japanese translation is in fact the word "let's adopt" according to the original language. However, the translated word in Japanese is not "to adopt" but "to make it my own." When I think about why it is translated that way, I think it's probably to avoid our misunderstanding in Japanese context. What kind of misunderstanding? In fact, adopting rather than being a real child clearly shows the parents' intention to make this child their own, and it is their strong, precious, and loving act. There is an unreasonable subjectivity in Japanese society, however, that adoption is weaker than being a real child. And probably because of this, the word was translated as "make it my own child" instead of adoption. By translating it in this way, I think emphasis was made to mean "I made it my own child more than my own." Of course, I think this is a wonderful translation, but on the contrary, in order to make the meaning clear, I would personally translate it directly as adoption, as in the English Bible translation. I have heard one true story that touched my heart and made me think that the translation of adoption might have been better. In the United States, a boy in the elementary school was bullied in class because he was adopted by his parents. He came home crying and told his mother about it. Then his mother said to the boy, "You are an irreplaceable and precious son for your father and mother. We saw you young. We wanted to raise you as our son, We wanted to make you our son, and you became a child of ours. Tomorrow, you go to school and say this to the children who hurted you. I am the precious son of my dad and mom, who was chosen by my dad and mom by the will of my dad and mom. In this class, I am the only proud child who became a child of my father and mother by their choice. It's a terrific word, isn't it? Instead of blood is thicker than water, the choice by will is thicker than blood. It means that he is their child more than their natural born child. This boy was made a newly born child by the clear intention of this father, of his father and mother. The Bible also tells us the importance of being reborn as a child of God, according to the will of God the Father, saying, a person cannot see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. The Bible is teaching that God adopted us sinners by Jesus Christ. It is more than being his real child. The only real Son of God the Father is Jesus Christ. Looking at the Gospel account, it is written that God called out from heaven to Jesus, who was baptized by John, saying, "You are my beloved child. I am pleased with you." Jesus also called God in front of people as his Father. God the Father hung Jesus, the real child of God, on the cross in order to adopt the sinners. God the Father offered the life of his own child to adopt us. The value of our lives, who have been made children of God by Jesus Christ, is more than the value of the life of Jesus, the real Son of God. Also, its existence is more precious than the real child of God. I am saying too simply this, but this overwhelmingness is far beyond our understanding, and we don't really understand it, and there is no one who can understand it. Regardless of the degree of our understanding as children, we are those who have been made children of God by God's determination, decision, and resolution to make us his children more than his real child. The Bible teaches us that becoming an adopted child, in a sense, has a profound meaning beyond being a real child. When the Father declares one as his child, it also means he is admitting that the child is a former legal heir. The Bible tells us that there is nothing regrettable for the Father to give all of his possessions, and nothing is enough for him to give to his child. This is clearly reflected in the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus taught. The story of the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke impresses us as a moving drama that the father received his prodigal son with his endless love and forgave him. The story expresses this moving scenario with a matter of money to make us feel it more realistic. As a matter of course, Jesus knew that we would be more impressed or interested with money story than anything else. Recently, the story of property inheritance has become a hot topic in the media, and it is featured in weekly magazines. It appears in the parable of the prodigal son. In that story, the second son rushed to inherit the inheritance from his father, as if he told his father, who was still alive, "You must die." The father gave the second son a share of his property because he was a real son. to the unfair claim of the prodigal son, who is dependent, naive, inexperienced, the father could have kicked him out by saying, "You are no longer my son, and I have no share of my inheritance for you." Instead, he gave a share of his inheritance to this prodigal son because he was his son. This is the act of admitting that the father himself can die in front of the child for the child. Thinking about what Jesus wanted to say through this story, I think he wanted to convey God's determination and decision to become our father. Making someone a child begins with the fact that he is the child, and not after the child becomes successful one day and reaches the throne of glory, or when he becomes a person of character. It has nothing to do with how good or bad the child is. You do not file your child's birth certificate after you raise him to a certain age because you like him. You do not decide not to file your child's birth certificate because you do not like him. Or you will not kick out the child whose birth certificate has been already filed because he does not behave in the way you like. In addition, the father who appears in the story of this prodigal son acted as if he publicly declared, "You are my beloved illegal heir," by giving his rude son his share of the fortune, although the son said to the father, give me now my share of your fortune I am supposed to receive when you die. This is something we can rarely do, but God has done it, and he tells us that he fulfills his role and responsibility as the father. By using the vivid story of inheritance that makes us feel as if it is a real story, God teaches us he never refuses the child who was once made his child, no matter how stupid, how unsuccessful, or dishonest the child might be. Every one of us grows up with more or less being hurted by his or her parents, or hurting his or her child. And it is also true that the wound is so big that there is sometimes a parent-child relationship that makes us want to cut the ties. But Jesus teaches us who are hurted that there is a sincere and true father. In the last words of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the hearts of the children to their parents." This passage may be interpreted that believing in God, who is Jesus Christ, gives us the grace of restoring the parent-child relationship of our family. But it is more than that. This passage prophesies that through the mediation and bridging of the life of Jesus, who is the real Son of God, the only true God will be our Father, and we sinners will be children of God. Let us turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Verse 30, "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of a little faith? So do not worry, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In this passage, Jesus does not say, I don't need to do any work because God feeds me. But instead, I work in good faith, but when I think that I live by the income I earned from that work, I become poor. And when I live in the relationship with God the Father in heaven as his child, I become rich. Here, Jesus does not say God the Father in heaven for the birds in the sky, for the grass in the wild, but your heavenly Father. Jesus tells us this story to make us realize that we are valuable beings, children of God the Father, who are far more precious than the birds in the sky and the grass in the wild. Also, here are some words that I didn't see well before. It is the phrase in verse 32, Your Heavenly Father knows. I have just recently experienced how encouraging, healing, and powerful just by being known. A child-rearing church member who lives in a neighborhood of ours, only 10 seconds away, on foot, said to my wife, I understand how tough it is to raise 4 children without parents living nearby to support you, and even in a foreign country. When I got home, my wife told me about it. Both of us were comforted to find how grateful and powerful to find that someone knows. However, there was something to close this story. My wife added the following words, It's harder to be your wife than to be a mother of 4. Sorry to be distracted, but nothing is more powerful than being known. It is said that the most important thing in modern times is not economic power, military power, intelligence, or physical strength, but empathy. In fact, this empathy is the essential power in any era. To the Israelites, who were slaves to Egypt 3,500 years ago, God said, I see you, I hear you, and I know you. I empathize with you. How encouraging and powerful it might have been to hear the words, I know your pain, hardship, predicament. After all, when it comes to what people are fighting against, they are fighting, I want you to know me. God the Father in heaven knows us as his children. The Bible says that God the Father is the one who knows everything, even the number of our hairs. The prodigal son's father knew the pain of his son, whom no one could sympathize with. And the father empathized with his son, and that helped his son. Jesus, the Son of God, took his life and risked his body to teach us that the Lord God is God the Father who knows all of us. Finally, I would like to take a look at the first letter by Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We who have received soulful salvation by faith in Jesus Christ are undoubtedly children of God. We are undoubtedly children of God who have gained salvation of our souls by faith to believe in Jesus Christ. We are newly born children of God by the firm will and choice of God. Being children of God, we are also heirs who inherit the imperishable heavenly assets. However, in order to take part in that inheritance, we must live on this earthly mission for some time. What kind of mission is it? It is a mission to love people and love God. To show the love of God the Father, thinking of others as better than ourselves, embracing them rather than judging them, seeking to be one rather than bragging. There are challenges. It also comes with sorrows. But it is the way to refine us into holy, unblemished ones before God. At the 130th anniversary of the Alliance Mission last week, Reverend Masaru Asoka, the chairman of the board, delivered a message from God's Word that shook my heart. The words, "Stealing ourselves," pierced my heart strangely. I felt that I wanted to steal myself to follow God the Father, who crucified his real Son, Jesus Christ, to atone for our sins, who made us his own children, and I wanted to live in his love continuously. I thought I had to live on a given mission again. Peter and Paul recommend as well. How grateful we are to be able to steal ourselves as children of God in order to inherit an asset that never decays, becomes dirty, or disappears. Let us pray.